my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. If you are my friends, if you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, kids, you are invited to make your way to Children's Church. Yes, sir?
I have an announcement / prayer request for this week.
Okay.
There is a family of four on my parents' street that were displaced this past week due to a house fire. They have two kids, not sure whether it's two boys or two girls, but it's a mom and a dad and two kids. They live about four or five houses down from my parents on the same side of the street. But they lost everything on the inside of the house. The house is not salvageable.
Okay.
It's a rough time to lose something.
Yeah. Gracious God, I pray for this family, neighbors of the Grimes, and ask, Lord, that you provide for them and that you equip your people to care for these people in their time of need, that there will be no lack in their lives, even though they've lost so much, but that your love will shine through to this family. And Lord, we thank you for your work here in this service already. We thank you for meeting us by your Holy Spirit. And as we study your word together now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Anybody a little disoriented this morning?
Yes.
Just a little bit? Well, we'll talk about that. Last week, most of you here last week, I think a lot of you were, as I think about it, our new friend Chad joined us and shared a really compelling story about exclusion and embrace. That's actually the title of a famous theology textbook, but I think it really captures the heart of the story Chad told last week about this boyfriend who he resisted, and then finally his defenses came down and he was able to have a meaningful conversation with him and let him know that he loved him and that he was part of the family, and how that changes everything in terms of how he looks at what happened next in his life. Because, as we know, sometimes we don't get all the chances that we think we're going to have to extend love to people, right? We get as many chances as we have, and then when we're out, we're out. So Chad called us to care for those, especially those on the margins, and especially those who may not fit in, especially those who may be hard to love. We, as God's people, as Christ's people, are the ones who are called to love the unlovables. Right? Because, guess what? People who don't follow Christ aren't going to do it. They're not going to love the unlovables. They're going to love the lovables, right? Because it's easy to love the lovables. That's why we call them the lovables. They're so easy to love. The unlovables are the ones that are hard to love. So why are we sitting like this today? I want to ask this question of myself and of all of you this week for Thanksgiving. How can I reserve some space? Perhaps for...
Perfect timing, man.
For the unlovable. In my midst, I can roll with anything. This week, how can I reserve a space for the unlovable or the person who just doesn't fit in? Whether that's somebody that I know already who is going to be at my Thanksgiving, or whether that's somebody who's yet to be invited to my Thanksgiving. So, a couple options.
Jesse.
How can I reserve space for someone new at my table? You may take for granted that you have a big family and you have a, you know, family Thanksgiving. Not everybody does, but whatever is normal to you is normal to you, right? You may take for granted that everybody has a place to go on Thanksgiving. Of course, not everybody does. Is there somebody new? Is there a neighbor? Is there a coworker? Is there somebody who just doesn't have a place to go and just would never say anything because it's kind of embarrassing? And you never want to invite yourself over to somebody else's Thanksgiving, right? Right? I mean, some people do that, but for the most part, we're a little hesitant to say, hey, can I come over to your family gathering for Thanksgiving, right? Most people would have a little hard time with that. But if you offer an invitation, is there a space reserved for someone new at my table? And this one may apply even more to many of you. Can I reserve some extra time with someone who doesn't seem to fit, or who I've struggled to understand or embrace? This may be somebody who's already there. This may be somebody you've just never connected with, never spent a whole lot of time talking to. Maybe they don't connect with anybody. Maybe there's some misfits in your family. Maybe you are that person, right? Maybe you are the person who feels on the outside. And I pray that somebody will reach out to you in those moments too. But how can I reserve space? That is, make it a priority. That is, you know, we have blue X's on these seats. I said, you can't sit on them. Kathy just checked to make sure she wasn't accidentally touching some of the blue. Lightning! It's going to strike. No. It requires intentionality, right? People don't accidentally start to feel welcomed. People don't accidentally show up to your Thanksgiving dinners. They need an invitation. They need a listening ear. They need someone to sit by them, ask them questions, get to know them. Who is it? I mean, you may have a person in your mind right now. Somebody who either needs to be there or who you need to sit next to when it comes to Thanksgiving this week. How can I reserve space? For many people, when you go into a Thanksgiving, family Thanksgiving, it feels like home. How many people would say that? You walk in, it's very like comfortable because, you know, we know we're going to have kind of the same food as we had last year, and the people are going to be there, and I know them, and it's like, it's home. For some people, when they walk into that family gathering, or whatever gathering you're at, it feels like it felt when you walked in here today. What do I do? Where do I sit? What language do I speak? What words do I use? Who is going to say something passive-aggressive against me today? Right? Where is it going to come? Wow, that struck a nerve, huh? Yeah. And again, this may be you. This may be your experience. You may be the one who walks in is just disoriented. I don't know how this is going to go. Am I going to be welcome this time, or is it just going to be weird? Is there going to be a lot of politics? Is there going to be a lot of discussions? Is it going to be like gritting my teeth getting through dinner, or is it going to be life-giving? So some people may not feel as comfortable as you do at Thanksgiving. So keep that in mind. I'm using Thanksgiving as the example, but we know that these are things that apply day in and day out in our lives, right? That these are principles that we take not just to Thanksgiving, but hey, it's 4 days away, we got some time to prepare, and it's a great opportunity to live something out. So, to get to this, I wanted to talk about John chapter 15. And you perhaps have heard this passage many times that Ken read for us. I want to highlight some of the central points of it, which is first, and maybe the most obvious thing that you get when you read John 15, that Christ is the vine and we are the branches. Right? This is Jesus' words. He says, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. Okay? So presumably we're thinking about like a grapevine situation where Jesus is the main vine and we are all connected to him. And then his call to us is, abide in me, remain in me. Right? We know how, I mean, even with a rudimentary understanding of agriculture, you understand that if something gets disattached from the vine or disattached from the branch, once the fruit is picked, it doesn't last forever, right? It has an expiration date. We got to remain in the vine to find life. So Christ is the vine, we are the branches. That's an image that we can picture. Can we all picture that?
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Next point. Christ's disciples glorify God by bearing fruit. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When we bear fruit, as Christ's disciples, we glorify God. God's name is glorified when we bear fruit. Now, what is bearing fruit, right? If we're still talking about a vine and branches, we're talking about grapes, right? We're talking about literal fruit. Now, in our lives, I've never had fruit grow out of my fingers, right? This isn't a literal thing, but I can bear fruit somehow. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say that I can bear fruit, that we as his disciples can bear fruit. So there's a different kind of fruit, but we do bear fruit, and that's how we glorify God. And so we glorify God by bearing fruit, and we bear fruit by loving one another. That's what it looks like to bear fruit. Loving one another. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. This is how we bear fruit. What does the fruit look like? It looks like love for each other. Again, we're narrowing it down a little bit, but when we say love each other, that can look like a lot of things in a lot of ways, right? And we have a lot of misunderstandings of what love is. Jesus defines it a little bit further by saying, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So that's the greatest love. The greatest way to show love, the greatest way to bear fruit is to actually lay down your life for your friends. Lay down your life for your friends. Now, if we're talking about our literal lives, like I'm actually taking a bullet for someone, that's one thing, right? Now, sometimes some people have the opportunity to actually do that, to actually jump in front of a speeding train or something to save somebody, and you're actually laying down your life for your friends. But most of the time, we lay down our lives for our friends by laying down our preferences so that they can have their preferences, right? We lay down our lives in various subtle ways so that other people can feel and experience the love of God. We bear fruit by loving one another, and loving one another looks like self-sacrifice. It's not just, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and if somebody else likes it, then that's awesome. And I love them. No, it's intentional. It requires us really taking the time to love one another. And then, Jesus sets the example here. We love one another by laying down our lives for one another, but also through intimate openness. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I've called you friends. So Jesus is saying, okay, I've been calling you servants because you've been following me and you've been serving me, but here's the thing. Here and now, you're my friends. Not just my servants, you're my friends. There's something different there. There's something more intimate there, right? Would you say you have generally a more intimate relationship with a friend than with a servant? Are we all in agreement on that? And then, what does he say? For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Not only am I going to call you my friends, but I'm going to disclose everything that the Father has told me. No secrets. No masks. Walls coming down. Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So Jesus doesn't just talk to talk and say, hey, buddy, you're my friend. And then treat you the same way, treat you like a servant. No. Everything that the Father has taught me, I've disclosed to you. He's giving us inside information, inviting us to be part of the family, part of the inside jokes between Jesus and the Father, which, I mean, hey, you probably got the best ones, right? The most hilarious inside jokes between the persons of the Trinity. I'd love to hear some of them, but we love one another through intimate openness. So we get the progression here. That's why there's arrows, right? Christ's disciples glorify God by bearing fruit. How do we bear fruit? We bear fruit by loving one another. How do we love one another? We love one another through intimate openness. So we track it so far. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to talk about extending branches. So this is ultimately about growth and bearing fruit, right? When we start to grow, and when we seek to grow without extending outward, our branches can become overcrowded. So this year I had the opportunity to help somebody out with picking the fruit off of a peach tree. This peach tree had more peaches on it than I could count. It was amazing how many peaches there were on every single branch. But I helped out a little bit too late because some of the branches got so heavy with peaches that they just snapped. And so the person who owned the trees was like building supports to put underneath the branches so that they wouldn't drag all the way to the ground, right? And hopefully salvage these branches so that they wouldn't be permanently gone. And in the meantime, I'm just trying to get as much fruit off of the branches as possible because, well, we don't want all the branches to break on this tree. So if we start to grow and if we start to bear fruit without extending outward, without moving into new territory, we can become overcrowded and break. In a spiritual life, if we are bearing fruit for ourselves and keeping it all in-house, we can become overcrowded and our branches start to break. We start to implode because just like trees, just like any living organism, we are called, we are created to go outward, to continue to move into new territory, to extend. Meanwhile, some branches get bared down with too much fruit. Some branches lose connection. Some branches break off of the vine altogether. Right, verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. We're talking about people. Sometimes people get the picture that they're not welcome. And they disconnect. They completely pull away. Maybe it's year after year. Maybe it's one inciting incident. I know in my larger, broader family system, I've had family members who have gone years and years and years and years without speaking a word to each other. Brothers and sisters who who would not speak to one another. And I know that's not uncommon because I'm sure it's happened in some of your families too. We cut one another off. We just can't do it. And those are painful things in our families, but they're even more painful in the family of God to lose people who have just cut themselves off or been cut off. Now, this passage calls every one of us, no matter where we're at, to remain in Him, to remain in the vine. No matter where we're at, maybe you've been a little disconnected, maybe you feel like you're broken off the tree entirely. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless for anybody. Anybody can come back into the fold of God. We must extend our branches by reserving space for new and different people at our tables. This addresses both problems. Right? Because, I don't know about you, but does anybody ever have a leftover problem? Like, leftovers become so overwhelming, it's like, how are we going to eat all these leftovers before they go bad? Right? So you're like making casseroles and throwing them in the freezer, and you're like, okay, maybe, you know, 6 months from now when I'm not full anymore from what I just ate, we'll get this out of the freezer and eat this again. That's the overcrowded branches. But it addresses that issue. It also addresses the issue of people losing connection. When we reserve space for new and different people at our tables. My brother Chad did not welcome Jaden into the family because he didn't like him. He didn't think he was good for his daughter. Did his disapproval have any impact on his daughter's behavior? Yep. Certainly didn't get her to break up with him. It didn't get the intended results on his daughter's behavior, right? We think by our disapproval that people will be like, oh, nope, that guy doesn't approve, so obviously I'm going to clean up my act. And, you know, people don't think that way. We may like to think that people care about our opinions greatly. And sometimes they do, and some people care, but often when we disapprove, it just makes people want to prove us wrong more and more, right? Yep. Every parent knows this. This is just the way people's minds work. Reserving space for new and different people. Are we afraid we're going to send the wrong message by embracing somebody who we don't approve of? Yes. We're afraid of that, right? We're afraid to embrace somebody we don't approve of their lifestyle, we don't approve of something about them, we don't want them, like, oh, I really hope those people don't get married, right? We have those concerns sometimes. What does the gospel call us to do? Reserve space. Reserve space for new and different people. We got to extend our branches. And I hope your Thanksgiving table is extended branches. But we also need to nurture those branches that we extend. Because if we add a bunch of new inputs into the system but don't nurture it, it's not going to be a good situation. If we invite people into something that isn't really anything, not great. We need to nurture ourselves. We need to nurture one another. We need to create space that is healthy when we're inviting people in. So, again, as I mentioned, Jesus transitions his disciples from servants to friends, right? That's the words that he uses. You're no longer my servants. You're my friends. We transition people in our families, and in our churches, right, and we could say this in the church family too, from out to in, from invited to welcomed. Is there a difference between invited and welcomed? Right, everybody's invited, but is everybody truly welcomed? You have to ask them if they feel like they're welcome. Or, perhaps most appropriately for Thanksgiving, from the kids' table to the big table. Not saying there shouldn't be a kids' table. Gotta preserve sanity somehow. But at some point, there is a progression made, and sometimes we're too late in realizing it. That some people need to have more say in the conversation, but we just keep telling them, be quiet. We're running the show here. Go sit at the kids' table. So Jesus moves from a farther distance relationship with his disciples, right? And that was an important thing at first, but he moves towards intimacy. Right? They do start out as his servants, but he moves towards friends. You are my friends. Jesus nurtures intimacy through open disclosure. No pretense. No masks. I was just sitting at dinner with a couple other pastors earlier this week during our conference pastors retreat. And this concept of masks came up. How, for all of us, not just pastors, we project an image to the world, right? You all know a version of Pastor Andrew, right? And I know a version of each one of you, right? It is the image that we project into the world. But there's always another side to that image, right? So on the back side of my mask, there may be more fears, more struggles, more anxieties than you would probably ever guess are within me because I am a pastor and I'm the Holy One, right? Maybe you guessed it already. You know. But we're all protecting something, right? We're generally all hiding something. We're all afraid somebody's going to find out something about ourselves. And so, we protect ourselves by projecting an image, by taking charge, by taking control in some way or another. Some of us take control by helping, being overly helpful, right? Some of us take control by taking over conversations. Some of us take control by being super self-deprecating and making fun of ourselves all the time. My go-to move. There are a lot of ways that we take control of the narrative so that you can't accuse me, you can't see the real me. But I was out with these two pastors, dear friends of mine. Well, one's a dear friend, one's somebody I'm just getting to know, but is really a father to me in the faith. And we were just observing the freedom we felt being together to just be ourselves, that we didn't have to pretend anything. Three pastors, we all knew what it's like to be a pastor. We all know that it's hard and, you know, things can be broken. And we all have families, we all have children. We know that that's not an easy thing, raising kids. And we were just able to laugh and cry together and completely be ourselves. And I hope you have some of those people in your lives. Some dear friend, some family member, somebody that you can just absolutely be yourself. And how much of a gift to the world would it be if our lives were like that? If the spaces we created for others were like that? If our Thanksgiving meals were like that? If when we got together, the masks were down, we weren't pretending, we were free to laugh, free to enjoy, free to share with one another, free to be ourselves, and free to welcome other people without fear of being misinterpreted, no, that we just were open and intimate with no pretense and no masks. Who are we reserving space for at Thanksgiving? Who are we reserving space for in our lives? We may need to start it, right? Jesus says, I'm not hiding anything. Everything the Father has told me, I've told you. So Jesus starts it first. Somebody new comes to our family gathering and say, I want to tell you something that you may not know. And we're not going to spill the family secrets without letting everybody know first. But, you know, let me tell you something. You may think that we have it all together and we all love each other perfectly. But guess what? It hasn't always been perfect. We fight with each other. We got some skeletons in our closet. You're going to find that out. You don't think that we're perfect and you're like on the outside looking in. Create space. Create openness by being disclosing. right? And, you know, you'll figure out what your comfort level is there. But not at the expense of somebody else, right? We're not sharing somebody else's secrets that they have no, right? Let's be clear there. We're not gossiping. We're not like, oh, I'll let you into the family by telling you all the dirt on Aunt Mabel. Like, she's the one that, she's the reason we're all like this. No, it's not blame, it's not gossip, it is vulnerability. Vulnerability creates intimacy. And just a couple more thoughts on bearing much fruit. If we will reserve spaces in order to get proximate to people who are disconnected, get proximate, right? Get close. John 15, this passage uses the word abides, right? To abide with people who are disconnected. If we reserve space in order to get close, to abide with people who are disconnected, and if we are real and open with everyone at our table, again, we gotta set some sort of boundaries. We don't wanna be like just vomiting our pain all over everybody else, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being vulnerable enough to create a real relationship. So if we reserve spaces to get proximate to people, if we're real and open with everybody at our table, then we will reach the objective that Jesus laid before us, which is we will glorify God by bearing much fruit. These are important steps. In some ways, when we talk about what is love one another, that's Jesus' call for us to love one another. How do we love one another? We get close, we get proximate to people who are disconnected. How do we love one another? We get real and open with people who are at our table. This is how we remain in the vine all together. Because if I'm attached to the vine and somebody's attached to me, right, they get to be attached to the vine too. This is how we share our faith. So every table is an opportunity to connect to the vine, to abide in Christ. Every time we sit around a table, it's an opportunity to abide in Christ together. Thanksgiving is one of those times where we gather around the table. And again, if you have no table to gather at, you can come here. Join our table. Maybe somebody else will give you an invitation too. I have no preference. I want you here, but I want you there too. Whoever, I want everybody to have a table. I want everybody in our families to feel like they belong at the table. I want God to be glorified in us that we might bear much fruit. This is how we be the church in the world. Right? Our vision for being the church is the image of a table, an ever-increasing, expanding group of people at the table, a multicultural stew of people at the table, but also just the people that we know, the people that we gather with, just being real and loved and welcomed. And what happens is God is glorified in us. God is glorified when we love one another. It's not just when we sing songs together. It's actually when we love one another, God is glorified. Right? We think about, go glorify your name, and we sing it, and that's great. I love singing. I love praising God. Some of you maybe do, sort of. Maybe you don't really like singing all that much at all. All of us are called to glorify God by loving one another. So take those steps with you this week. Reserve space. Get proximate to people who are disconnected. Get real and open and watch the Holy Spirit work. We try that out? It's an experiment. Just like moving all these pews is an experiment. But I have a feeling that if we listen to what Jesus asks us to do, there will be much fruit. Let's pray. God, we are humbled that you have called us friends. It's easy for us to think of ourselves as your servants. But may we live into this identity of knowing that you are our friend, that you have called us friends. And may that enable us to offer friendship to those who are disconnected. On my own, I have no business being called a friend of God. And in our judgment, maybe there are people who have no business being our friends. But it's not our judgment, it's God's judgment. Love one another. Don't just love the people you like, love one another. May we love one another with abandon. May we love one another without walls and without masks. May we love one another as you have loved us, and may your love continue to abide, to bear much fruit in our lives and in this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.